So, Father, we're asking for your grace. We're thanking you for your anointing. We thank you for your word, which is anointed. And we just pray that you would draw out what you desire, how you see fit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to read Luke 17:6. And it's going to, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let me read it one more time. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, did the Word of God say he has given us a measure of faith? It's not a trick question, yes or no? He did? So how many of you have faith? Okay. Doesn't have to be a monumentous amount of faith. It says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know how little a mustard seed is? Have you seen one? How tiny that is? Itty bitty thing. And you know, if a mustard seed gets in, it can break up concrete. It grows into a tree. It is a mess if you get it in the wrong spot. But it starts out an itty bitty thing, and it really can grow. If you have faith, and we all acknowledged that he's given us faith, we have faith. And it doesn't have to be much faith. It just has to be a little faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree. Be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea. And we're not talking about just, you know, when we look at this, we look at it generally as though whatever is standing in your way, the mountain, the sycamine tree, whatever is in your way, it needs to be plucked up and cast in the sea. It needs to be out of your life. You need to be rid of the thing, right? How many want to be rid of something in their life right about now? Okay, well, this is giving us information on what God has given us, how to use our faith. Plucked up by the roots. We don't want the roots staying there because roots can regenerate, right? So it needs to be plucked up by the roots and planted in the sea. Now, the thing of it is plants aren't normally planted in the sea, correct? This word means to be permanently relocated in the sea. Permanently. Whatever the issue, whatever the problem is to be permanently relocated, roots and all, not to come back, not to grow back, but to be planted in the sea. And the thing of it is this, that once a tree is thrown into the seawater, it becomes a dead issue. Why? Because sea salt will kill it. Amen? Those roots can't come back. It can't go down. It can't rejuvenate itself. Amen? So this is what Jesus is telling us to do. To take those things that are standing in our life, to take the little bit of faith that you have and to activate that faith. You can't activate faith unless you know the one who is faithful. This isn't about knowing about God, it's knowing God. We're in a relationship with God Almighty. We're not in a dead religion. Jesus was the one that hated religion. He despised it. He was one that came to restore relationship with God Almighty. That's why we were created. And I can't stress that enough. Because it doesn't seem to matter what church you're in or how gloriously you got saved. If you're not careful, you can get into a religious rut. And we don't want to do that. We want to maintain our walk, our unity with God, the oneness that we have with God. The reason we were created to begin with is to fellowship with God Almighty. So we need to cultivate that relationship. We get to know him through his word. We get to know him in times of worship. When his presence comes in, you find out different aspects of who he is. He begins to work on the inside of you. Amen. He changes us in his glory, in his presence. Amen. Aren't you glad? I am so glad I am not in a religious rut. And I've been there a time or two. But if your heart is to just continue to move forward in the things of God, you are going to. You're not going to stagnate. Amen. But it's all about knowing him. Amen. Because you cannot trust somebody you don't know. You can't put faith or confidence in somebody you don't know. You can know about them. Well, maybe I've heard some things about them. But if you don't know them, you can't really put your faith and confidence in them. Amen. And that's what faith is believing. Believing what God says in his word is true. Amen. That's where faith comes from. It's a confident expectation that what we're told in the word of God is absolutely true. True to the point that we can bank our lives on it. True to the point that we can step out when we have no money to give the money because we know that God's going to supply for our every need. Amen. He supplied. He brought the food that we had need of. That's a small little thing. But to me, it was monumentous in my mind because it was my first step of faith where I stepped out on the limb and said, okay, God, you said in your word, you're my provider. I'm going to trust you in this. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to put your way first. And I saw him come through. Amen. By the way, by the end of the week, I had food sitting in my fridge. It was empty at the beginning. Amen. Amen. Plenty of meals, plenty of goods. Why? Because he is faithful. I can trust him because of who he is. Amen. He cares about me affectionately. He cares about you affectionately. He's not just standoffish and watching over just to see that we don't get maimed or something. He cares about every detail in our life, every aspect of your life. You can bring everything to him. Amen. And when we get in, where we get in trouble is when we don't. When we try to work it out ourselves. When we sit and try to, in some places, manipulate the situation or the people around us to make it go our way. We need to be careful. Amen. Because it's easy to get caught up in the natural worldly way of doing things. And it's always a lesser way than God's way. God's way is trust him. So when situations are in before us and not good, we need to begin to apply our faith towards that thing and be rid of it. Be done with it. Amen? Be determined that, no, this is not the way it's going to be. Amen. I refuse to have this in my life. I'm working some things out right now in my life. I'm sure, because I've heard comments here and there, that, you know, my knees have been messed up for a while. And it was getting to the place where I'm walking, hanging onto both sides of the rail, and I'm going down one step at a time. Because I didn't want to fall. I'm walking like an old crippled up grandma. I'm not an old crippled up grandma and I refuse to be one. Amen. So I'm determined No, this is not how a healthy person walks. Hear what I'm saying? I'm putting faith to my action. So I am not walking down like an old granny anymore. I've determined when I catch myself doing it, nope. I'm healed and whole. Why? Because his stripes were sufficient. Because he was ripped and torn and shredded in his body. He paid a price in his body so I could have wholeness in my body. How do I appropriate that? I believe it. Amen. And then I'm doing what I'm doing. No, healthy people don't walk like this. Healthy people don't act like this. Amen. So when symptoms come into my body and they're not lined up with what I know is God's will for me, then I need to appropriate faith towards that. Amen. I need to plant that thing in the sea, root and all. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Everything that we have in our life, we need to walk out by faith. Because he's given us everything pertaining to life, everything pertaining to godliness, to live upright, to walk upright, to not be tempted and pulled and walk with one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God. Amen. There's a place that God's calling the body of Christ in is higher than what we've seen up till now. We've seen history and we've seen the great awakenings. We've seen things come forth where the church was pretty much dead and persecuting those that stood up for righteousness and holiness and godliness. Amen. I mean, Charles Wesley had to preach in the gravestone on his father's grave who started the church because they didn't like what he was standing for. He was not allowed in the church. A lot of men and women of God that really take a stand and they know that reformation is needed. They know that the church is falling short. God's beginning to reveal things. When they begin to stand up, all hell breaks loose against them. Why? Because the church gets comfortable where it's at. But God is calling the church to a higher place. We are part of what he has called us to. And we need to dust off the crap. Amen. And stand clean and holy because that's what he made us. Amen. We're supposed to shine like stars. We are supposed to be a difference. Love is supposed to be evident in us. They will know we are Christians by our love. Amen. But we have to, well, maybe you love, but I could care less. Well, when you're born again, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. I don't feel like I love him. It's there. You have to yield to it, but it's in your heart. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, self-control. I never exercise self-control. Got news for you, it's there. Because God said it's there. Amen? But whether you exercise it or not, whether you exercise love or not, it's up to you and it's up to me. Do I yield to God or do I yield to my flesh and my emotions? Because we're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. And our body always wants to satisfy itself. And our emotions are always a roller coaster and going at whatever way we let them go. And our spirit always wants to go after the things of God. So we got things going on the inside of us. The more word, the more time in worship, the more you spend time with God, the stronger praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself in your most holy faith. You want to be a strong Christian? Number one key, pray in the Holy Ghost. Get in the Word of God. It takes a little bit of time. It takes commitment on our part. Do we want it? Do we really want it? Then we make time for it. We do it. Yeah, but I'm not feeling anything. Boy, I tell you what, I was on that game for a long time. Why? Because when I first got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, I was in the bathroom getting slain in the Holy Ghost. His presence was with me wherever I went. I'm not kidding you. It was so strong, so evident. And then he lifted his hand. Why? Because he didn't love me anymore? No, because he wanted me to walk in faith. So whether I felt his presence, whether there were manifestations of his presence or not, it was time for me to grow up and to trust him in these things. Amen. To trust his word in these things. Amen. So there's a point in time where we have to just stand and know and stand and see that what our God says is faithful. Whatever you're dealing with in life, God is faithful. God loves you. Amen. And when you know that, a lot of things are going to change in your life. There's one scripture when it's talking about the sycamine tree. You know, a sycamine tree is a tough and bitter tree. Anybody ever deal with bitterness? Anybody ever get hard and tough? Am I the only one? I've had to deal with it a time or two. I've had a few hurts that were hard to swallow. I've had some major disappointments that were huge. And I had to deal with a whole lot of stuff on the inside of me. But the word tells us not to allow a root of bitterness. It can corrupt you. It can destroy you. We have to be so careful with things and not allow our emotions to rise up and take precedence over everything else. We want spirit to rise up. What's God say about it? What does he want? How does he want me to respond? What has he given me to deal with the situation? We need to look at it. We need to realize and gravitate towards the things of God, not what we're feeling. Amen. Well, God says, I have goodness and I have gentleness, so I don't feel very gentle. I want to rip his eyes out. But the word says that's a quality that I have. So I can choose to be gentle and calm. I can choose to be at peace. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was put upon him. Why? So that we might have peace. Amen. I can walk in peace. There's a scripture here in the Amplified, John 14:27. It says this. I love the Amplified. Peace I leave you with you, my own peace. I now give and I bequeath to you. He wills it to us. In other words, at his death, he gave it to us. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. It's not the same peace as the world. Do not, the implied word there is you. You do not let your hearts be troubled. That's a choice you have to make. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated. and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. All those things can come against us. But he says they don't have to, because his peace can overtake when those things try to come in. When you start to get disturbed, when you start to get agitated, before you start growing a root of bitterness. I don't know about you, but when I go out in the garden, sometimes I am amazed when you pull up some of those things. And it's a little tiny plant that big in the garden, and yet you see weed roots a foot long trailing behind it. You think, wow, that's amazing. There's some things that can go down on the inside of us and just get wrapped around everything, and their intent is to stay. But he told us we're to do what? Let's go back to pluck it up by the root and plant it in the sea, and it should obey you. So even if there's bitterness and anger and resentment, what are we to do? Pluck it up by the root. Amen? The root, so it can't access and regenerate. Pluck it up by the roots and cast it in the sea, because it can't grow in the sea. You will never get over things that your parents have done to you, your children have done to you, your husband has done to you, your wife has done to you, your boss has done to you, if you continue to hold those things and you're bitter about them. The enemy uses things like this to destroy people, to stop them in their tracks and to keep them from moving forward. We are not in a time in history where we can play games. We are not at a point where we can carry all this baggage around. But we need to truly trust God with it. How do we do that? How do we do that? To cast the whole of your care. One thing is knowing him, that he greatly cares for you. He loves you. I mean, before anything else, you need to meditate on that and get that dropped from just a thought up here to really penetrate your heart. My God loves me. He's given everything for me. He suffered, and he continually walks through and gives me what I have need of to this day and this hour. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's going to walk through this life. He's made a way. He's showing me the way. He's revealing it to me. Amen. Why? Because he loves me and he wants to be in communion with me. He wants to fellowship with me. He created me for this very purpose. Amen. He created you the same. So what are we going to do? Choices are ours. Let me tell you, when you allow stress, and I know some of you have heard this before, but it bears repeating, because sometimes we forget. Stress, anxiety, depression, bitterness, anger, frustration, impatience. I mean, you can take it back to any, from rage to impatience. Amen. But There's still effects of stress and fear and anger that show up if you don't deal with it. Bitterness if you don't deal with it. That's when it takes hold and takes root. Amen. So when something happens, you deal with it then. That's why the Word of God says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let it happen. Why? Because if you don't deal with it, then the next day you wake up. Well, I'm just waiting for the right time to talk to him. Hallelujah. Well, morning goes by, it just isn't the right time. And then when they come home from work, oh, they're just too tired. That's not the right time either. Then the next day, you're busy from day to night, so that's not the right time either. Next thing you know, a week's gone by, and there hasn't been a right time, and the whole time you're stewing over it. You're thinking about it, meditating on it, getting more and more irritated. So then the next time they look at you cross-eyed, the fangs grow. Ah. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Instantly. Yeah, but I need a cool down time. Okay. Then just be upfront. Say, listen, we need to talk before we go to bed. We need to talk. So just prepare yourself to talk. We need to deal with this. We need to get to the root of this thing. I want things right. It's either going to get right or it's going to corrupt. So if you ignore it, it's going to corrupt. Because that root will get down there and twine. And the more you think about it, the more frustrated you become. You got to deal with issues at hand. And this goes in every realm. Well, how does stress affect our body? There's an adrenal gland. Sits on top your kidney. What it's meant for is for you to function fight or flight. Run like crazy to get out of there and get safe, or fight and defend yourself. I mean, that's really the whole point and purpose that God created our bodies. Amen. Put it there. But when you're living under stress, you're just oozing just a tiny bit out continually. And that is toxic. And it can build up in different parts of your body. It can build up in different organs. It can build up in muscles. It can cause all sorts of damage to our bodies. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Yeah, we believe in healing. Yeah, but I'm going to sit here and be angry. What are we doing? We're on self-destruct. I believe in healing, but I'm not seeing it in my body. Why? Because we're on self-destruct. We need to deal with things. Amen? Amen? Oh, you're awful quiet in here. Okay, so this adrenal gland, it stimulates your nervous system, and this is what happens to our body when it begins to go. There's an increase in your pulse. Just listen, just in case there might be a symptom or two that you're dealing with. Maybe it fits. Increase in pulse and blood pressure. Increase in breathing. It opens your bronchia. It blocks the effects of insulin, and it boosts glucose levels. It decreases your gastrointestinal activity. It strengthens your muscle contractions. It stops the blood flow to your skin. It tightens your body's openings. So when it's released, it's getting your body condensing things down to where it's more efficient. So if you truly need to fight or flight, you can do it. But when we do this, when we allow our bodies to stay in the situation, there's problems over a period of time where this will cause havoc to our body. Amen? We're not meant to live under stress. Now, here's some physical effects, the acute, the first things that show up. Parts of your body that it affects. Your heart, your lungs, your esophagus, your chest wall. Number one killer in America is what? Heart attacks. So then delayed responses. I mean, instantly, you ever get really stressed and things show up? Well, here's some delayed. This is hours to days later, these things will show up. All of these acute responses, but then it affects your abdomen, your intestines, your colon, your muscles, your neck, your head, your legs, migraines. A lot of migraines are triggered from stress from the previous day. You ever be driving in a real tense situation? What happens next day? Tight, stressed, pain. So then chronic response, this is after a period of time where it's adding up in your body. These toxins are being released. They're building up in your muscles. They're building up in your organs. This is what the effects are. Overweight. Why? Because there's excess cortisol. There's also comfort eating. Choice is yours. Maybe both. Heart attack, hypertension, stroke, asthma, headaches, hypoglycemia, irritable bowel syndrome, diabetes type 2, emphysema, acid reflux, peptic ulcers, ulcerated colitis, arthritis, multiple sclerosis, frequent infections, cancers, fibromyalgia, inflammatory bowels, hemorrhoids, impaired testosterone and sperm production, absence of irregular, painful cycles in women, reduced sexual desire, insomnia, depression, anxiety attacks. Stress can affect you more so than you realize. And I think a lot of us just ignore things. And we just think they're going to go away, think something's going to change. What we need to do is trust God. If God has a plan for your life, if there are purposes in your life, He began the good work. He has given His word. He's going to continue the good work. Amen. He's working on our behalf. He loves each and every one of us. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how to fulfill the plan for your life. And sometimes we get irritated with people around us because we feel like they're holding us back. If they weren't, then we could. It's not true. Whatever situation you're in right now, if your confidence is in your God and in His hand upon your life, you can rest and be at peace in Him and know that He's going to work things out for you, whether people around you work it out or not. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I got a jumping crowd in here today. God is faithful. He is so faithful. And we don't want to go down that path. We just think we can get a little irritated or a little We need to control our flesh and our emotions. Because if we continue, you build habits. 21 days for a habit. Amen. You can build good habits. You can break bad habits. But it all comes back to you and looking to God to help you in the midst of it all. If there's things that need to be changed in your life, God can help you. And in relationships, the number one thing we're afraid, oh, I can't tell my husband this. I can't tell my wife this. I'm afraid to talk to my kids. They're going to blow up. You know what? A relationship is built on trust. That you trust their love for you. And you might need to sit down face to face with the ones you love and just say, listen, things can be better than they are right now. Amen. I don't know. There's probably not one person in here where it can't be better. That you are absolutely on top of your game, 100%. Can anybody go up a little bit? I know I can. Amen. But when we communicate, that means we trust them. We trust in the love. And you might have to trust in the God of love to work it through them. Amen. Your confidence has to be in Him, and your confidence has to be in the grace that's on your life and the ones that are around you. We can all come up. We can all walk in peace, joy, strength. Amen. We can walk in the wisdom of God. Why? Because God says we have it. It's available to us. Do we take time to get it? Do we take time to cast the care? It's like sticky flypaper. You know flypaper? I mean, that's an old-time thing. Used to hang it in the barns all the time. And you get that. We had some, oh my goodness, I don't know, some picnic or something we had. And I walked past that thing, and it got stuck in my hair. It was horrible. But that stuff, you get it stuck, and it's kind of like you just have to keep going till it. And that's how it is sometimes when some of these things hit our heart. You get mad. Fear, anger, it's all centered around loss. There's something. Go back and look. What have I lost? What am I afraid I'm going to lose? Why am I so angry? Why am I so frustrated with this situation? Even to the point of impatience. Why are you impatient? Well, 'cause I'm not going to make it in time. You have a fear of not getting there on time. Whatever it is, there's it always goes back to loss. What is your loss? Can it be recovered or not? But we got to deal with it. God is faithful. He absolutely wants us walking in a place where we're walking above life's circumstances. Why? Because we know Him. Because we can trust He's going to work it out in this situation. That He is going to provide for me when it doesn't look like there's any provision. That He's going to make a way when it looks like there's absolutely no way. That He's going to bring things together. He's an awesome God. And He cares about every one of us. And I don't know how He does it, but I know Pastor Gary and I can be on opposite ends of the spectrum. And God can minister to both of us and pull it together. How does He do that? I have no earthly idea. But I know He can. And I know He does. And I know He's not going to, He doesn't play favorites, so He's not going to do it for me and ignore you and neglect you. He's no respecter of persons. So some of us just need to go before God and say, okay, God, show me what I need to do. Some of us need to just begin to pray in the Spirit more, get in the Word more. You know, when I am so full of God, I tell you, you can hit me with a Mack truck and I'll just, it doesn't matter. Let it roll off. I don't care. I'm not going to get bothered by anything. But the less time that I spend with God, the more rigid, start closing in and owning everything. And it's up to you. It's up to me. How are we going to function in this life? But I think it's time to get real with God, get real with each other, and begin to set love as our standard above all else. Begin to let go of the things. Some of this stuff that I used to think really, 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 really mattered don't amount to a hill of beans. But when I was younger, oh, it was a monstrous mountain. I guess things get in perspective a little bit the older you get. I don't know. But some things you just find out, really, you know, you live through some things. You find out God's been there the whole time. You find out He's making a way that you can do this with Him. And in the long run, that thing don't matter. Amen. Because He wants us to live at peace. He wants us to know who we are. I'm going to read John 14:27 in the Amplified again. Peace I leave with you, my own peace. I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled. Let's rise up and be the children of God that God's called us to be. We have everything on the inside of us to take our place, to stand and His grace, to stand in faith against the mountains, and to deal with the things on the inside that can corrupt us, destroy us. We don't want a root of bitterness. Amen. Cast it. So I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think. Maybe it's not a root of bitterness. Maybe just something aggravated you. Maybe it hasn't grown into any big deal right now. But if there's anything at all that's irritating you, bugging you, peeving you, angering you, maybe you are bitter. I want you to... Let's just all put it in your hands in front of you. Just imagine what that is. And I want you to lift it up to God. Give it to Him as an offering. Lord God, we desire to grow and to be all that You created us to. We desire to walk in faith in who You are and all that You've given to us, and we know through You we can do all things. So we thank You for the grace, for the ability to trust. We thank You for the faith You've given us. So help us to walk this out. We cast the whole of our care upon You. You care about us. You're going to work it out. You're going to work things out through us. You're going to make a way. We thank You for that, Lord God. So we cast the whole of our care upon You. We trust You in working these things out. Give us wisdom and peace. And I just pray, Father God, that You just fill each one with the joy of their salvation, with confidence in Your love and mercy, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.